the prayer that she led us in for our president, that was a prayer that she wrote. And so I think that is so significant that I think I feel led to send that to the White House and just let our president know that Hope Chapel at Huntington Beach in California, how many know California? That we are for our nation and making America all that God has intended for America to be. Well, welcome everyone. Again, my name's Paul Harmon. Welcome you who are watching via live stream. What a great privilege it is for me to be here. Once again, last Sunday, last week, we were in Nashville, Tennessee for our Four Square Convention. A few years back, we changed the word convention to connection because so many people just need to reconnect. For Ainsley and for me, when we have gatherings like this, it's so wonderful and enriching because we see dear colleagues throughout the years who have done ministry and are doing great things for the Lord. And what a privilege for me to just describe to you the outstanding, apostolic, dedicated men and women who are on the mission field, to meet these individuals that are serving in Papua New Guinea and to hear their stories. It's really pretty outstanding, really heroic. Aries in Fiji, in the Francophone nations, these individuals that represent you to bring the gospel and to change the cultures that are happening there, phenomenal. To be able to see even those who are there in Mexico, Don and Sandy Godwin being there, to experience those things have been amazing. To be able even to see just dear pastoral friends that have been serving so diligently in the local setting where Foursquare believes that is the front lines. Those are the individuals that are hearing from the Lord and doing ministry and getting the gospel. Man, Jesus is the one that called it his church, right? Yeah, I'm going to build my church. So he not only claimed it, he named it. He said, I'm going to protect it. Man, I am all for the local church. And to see these dear leaders, some senior pastors that are women in leadership, some males, it's just, some have just kind of worn out and realized they need to take a step back. And so there's that time where we weep with those who weep and those who rejoice and are having just breakthroughs. And then just the pastor needs somebody to preach at them too. Isn't it great hearing great messages? Well, one of the things that was accomplished is that we voted on a brand new president. So we call that president president-elect, and it's Randy Remington. And so that our new president, Randy Remington, currently he's the pastor of Beaverton Foursquare Church. And so he'll be transitioning out in next convention in Denver, where we gather, we will be installing our new president. Glenn Burris has been our president for going on almost, it'll be 11 years at his completion. And I just want to let you know, it's been a real privilege for me to feel I have had a little bit of a part to play in all of that. And I say that because you are my dear friends, you are my church. I was voted on as a board member representing our jurisdiction in Arizona and parts of Nevada and Southern California. Served on the board of directors for 6 years, came on the scene in 08, and I completed in 2013. We selected and implemented Glenn Burris from Dr. Jack Hafer to Glenn Burris, so see a part of the intricate working. Served on the cabinet as well. At the same time, I completed that cabinet stretch this last March. So I served on the Foursquare cabinet for 11 years. Cabinets constitutes 90 people. The board of directors is about 20. It's similar to like our church council. So to be able to be a part of that and to see that played out and to see how well Foursquare selects their new president has just been just a joy personally for me, because the policies that have been put in place, something that was newly established this round was the absentee voting ballot that every Foursquare minister or ordained minister had the privilege to vote by mail, or they could show up and vote right on site. And the highest form of government of the Foursquare movement are the members. You, if you're a member of a Foursquare church, you have a voice, and the voice is, we send delegates. So we sent some voting delegates with us, and those voting delegates were David and Nicolette Liu, also Andre and Caitlin Mansour. They have never been to a Foursquare convention. Some of you may have been with us when the convention was in Anaheim, and Paul and Ainsley were a part of overseeing the greeters ministry. Wow, that was involved. But we have a brand new president, and it was an outstanding experience. Some of you are aware that Ainsley was not able to be with us because her mother, Dolly, became ill, was hospitalized, and then needed to go and be placed currently in a healthcare facility. She's doing very well. We're grateful to God for that. Thank you for your prayers. And so we're believing that she's going to come out probably by Friday, in time for her birthday on Saturday, huh? Yeah, so we're grateful for that, which, as we begin, reminds me of a joke. Hey, because we want to be serious about things of the cross, but we want to keep things lighthearted. Well, heard about this young police recruit that had completed his studies and final examination, was answering questions in front of a large classroom. So the sergeant asked him, "What would you do if you had to arrest your mother-in-law?" He immediately said, "I'd call for backup." That's it. There you go. My mother-in-law is in the hospital. I want to thank you for your backup, and we're grateful for that. She's doing great. Well, I want to just now take this opportunity. The presence of the Lord means everything. Moses knew it very well. When he was being challenged by God, God had it up to here with the nation of Israel and said, "You just have really took me to testing me too many times, and my presence will not go into the promised land with you." Remember that? Exodus 33. And Moses said, "Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we are staying in the desert. We're staying where you're at." And what that equates to sometimes for me, that promised land for some of us could be prestige, all of our hopes and dreams, the glorious outcomes of exquisite living. We want to get there. But Moses said, "If your presence isn't with us there, we're not going there. We don't want those dreams anymore. We want your presence." Want your presence more than performance? We want your presence more than popularity? So, Lord, we just open our hearts right now. Would you just close your eyes and just make a whisper saying, "Lord, we want you. We want your presence. We want who you are." Lord, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, you can bring an infusion of your grace and of your goodness right now. And you just have to mutter that as well. We want you, Lord. Your presence makes the difference. So open our hearts right now to your word. And let us see and understand in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you once again. I'm glad to be back. You know, we've been in a Sunday series that's entitled Making a Difference. That's also our church's theme. And we've been looking at Abraham, his life. Talk about a life that has made a difference. It is Abraham. And so Abraham, as God uses him, talk about somebody that has influenced generations, even now to this day. So I'm right now looking at Genesis chapter 18. We have a title of the message, God's Got a Plan for You. And let's go ahead. If you don't happen to have a Bible, check out your electronic app. The password is right there for our church's Wi-Fi. If you have a Bible, go ahead. If you need one, raise your hand. We'll put one in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, take that Bible with you. How about it? The Word of God changes things, especially for our lives as we look at it. Genesis chapter 18. Last time we were together, remember, we were in Genesis 18, and all of a sudden, Abraham's at the front of his tent. He sees these three visitors come. We know now one is God, pre-incarnate visit of Jesus. How about it? And the other two are angels. We know that because in Genesis 19:1, it says, and the two angels are now going into Sodom and Gomorrah. I like that fact that God always goes in and checks out things. Don't you know that? God is slow to really kind of engage an element of what we call finality or judgment. It's kind of like, I'm going to go check this out. If I'm going to act on anything, just see if it's the way it is. That's just the way God is. I'm going to go investigate. But we see here that then Abraham, remember we were together, he made this exquisite great meal. Now he's sending these three on their way. And we're right there in verse 16. It says, then the men arose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I will do, what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now that's pretty phenomenal. Shall I hide from Abraham, or shall I disclose? I'm just wanting to tell you something, that God has a plan for all of us. And I have listed three areas that you can simply just get before the Lord and say, Lord, what is your plan for me publicly? What is your plan for me privately? What is your plan for me prayerfully? We saw a great demonstration of united prayer for our president, for our nation. We take a look at something like this. This is outstanding. Now, your parents may have had a plan for you, but what is God's plan for you? So as we look at that, how important, and we see where the Apostle Paul, for you who are believers, he says so clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. You may want to write that down, because I know you can hardly wait to look that up and bring it into your life group. But that's where he says, listen, you have been purchased with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which belongs to the Lord. So that's important, because Ephesians chapter 5, 17, you can write that down. Ephesians 5, 17 says, don't be unwise. It literally says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. So that's important. So let me just kind of lay these things out just a little bit, because we're going to look at Abraham's, but God has a plan for you publicly. God has a plan for you privately. God has a plan for you prayerfully. And if you could just say, man, I know what that is. Now, there is a season for everything. There's a season for everything. Ecclesiastes says that. For everything, there's a time and season. But what is it today? And would it be worth your time to go and say, Lord, I want your presence, and to find out exactly what that is? How many know there is a book that lists every moment of your life? Every moment. It's interesting, because it's found, and let me read it to you from the New Living Translation, but you may want to write down Psalms 139, verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had come to pass. We're not talking every day. We're talking every moment. God has logged in a book with you. You are not like everybody else. You cannot say that you are common. You cannot say you're menial. You are you. God has recorded everything in a book. Revelation talks about that. Even Jesus says, man, my will and my life's been recorded in your book to do your will, O Lord. You have that same thing. You say, well, then that doesn't matter what I make a decision on. Listen, God already knows what decision you're going to make before you make it. So free will is all you. It's all up to you. You make that decision what you're going to do. Each life is so unique. Nobody else has your DNA. You cannot say, I'm like somebody else. You should not even compare your life with somebody else. That's a no-no. But we have to come and say, okay, God's got a plan for my life publicly. Only you can fulfill it. God's got a plan for me privately. Personally, how about prayerfully? So it's important. God has recorded the accomplishments he has intended for you. God's goal is set for you. I'm convinced of that. I'm so glad I said yes to the Lord. Listen, and it comes down to choices. You entered this relationship with God with a choice. I choose Jesus. I want him as my Savior. And everything from here on out is a choice. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, from the Amplified Version. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, is what he says, for us that we should walk in them. Now that word "we should" does not say we must. We should means you have to decide. That's what that's literally saying. God has this laid out for you, but now you can make a decision. Will you or won't you? Will I or won't I? That's an important element because everything, we should walk in them. So when dealing with this, God sets some goals for us. We can discover what those goals are by times of just being with him. Just relax, grab your best beverage and just be, Lord, speak to me. What's the latest thing for me to do publicly? Talk to me about my private life. Who should I pray for? And so since decisions have to come, the reason why so many times we don't make this decision, most people intentionally never decide to miss what God's desire is for them. We just become so busy. You're just, and I'm just, too busy to say, what should I decide on? I haven't really made a decision yet because I don't really know. So slow down, slow down. Let's take a look, a good prayer to even begin this process. Colossians chapter 1, it's on the screen, verse 9 and 10. Let's take a look at this. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You take a look at those two verses, you pray that for yourself. You might even want to pray that for a loved one. Lord, let them increase in the knowledge of you and of your will. God does not want to hide things from you. You're in a relationship. So being too busy might just keep you and me from actually hearing what he has for us. I am not here to give you a duty list. I'm just giving you three categories to say, do you have areas covered in your life when it comes down to these areas that are so significant? What is God's plan for your life publicly? What is God's plan for your life privately? And what is God's plan for your life prayerfully? So we take a look here. It's important because we're looking at Abram. And so that area of what God is doing, making choices, he'll show us. I believe that. Let's look at Abraham. Number one, the plans for a public purpose. Let's look at verse 16 once again. Then the men rose and there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, it's interesting. I really think it's funny because we've been dealing with previous studies in Abraham, and we realize that, yes, Abraham really starting off with Ishmael and then Isaac, and lo and behold, we now see today millions upon millions of his offspring, both Arab as well as Jew. It's an amazing thing. And it's like God has a funny sense of humor, don't you think? The fact of the matter is you got this old man being promised this and an infertile wife, and they have this large family unit. Now, the nation of Israel, let's just talk about how all the families of the earth will be blessed. Israel is just an amazing nation. Been there four times. Let's go back together. But there's something about the blessing of that nation that has blessed all the nations, just his offspring. The nation of Israel constitutes 0.1% of the world's population. Very small. But 33% of all Nobel Peace Prize winnings have gone to Jewish people. We have discovered what it is, the polio vaccine, the DNA modeling, all from just Israeli inventors. 30% of all awards given for agricultural, music, literature, science, 30% historically have gone to Jewish people. We've been blessed by the ability. Probably the most noted one is Albert Einstein. I could list all these individuals, say, wow, they invented that? Oh, man, is that true? So we can see where that is very true. All the families here be blessed by your little children, Abe. But we know as we look at the New Testament also, we're dealing with two that's referencing the Messiah. Jesus is going to come through the lineage, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. So when we take a look here, plans for a public purpose, how cool is that plan? Shall I hide from you what God's going to do through you? He can tell you. And we've known that it doesn't take many little offsprings to multiply and have some great, great heritage. My niece, Wendy Harmon, we had a little gathering there in Tennessee, and she's into the ancestry. So she traced back the Harmons all the way back to the early 1700s. Just FYI, not to bore you with the details, but I've discovered that I'm related to King Edward III. So I hope I get a few crown jewels somewhere along there. But it's amazing when you talk about the heritage. Well, let's take a look, because you might not be all that interested, seriously, whether or not your life's going to make an impact. You might be here even this morning. You could be watching and saying, well, what's the big difference that whether I make any kind of difference with others or not? Well, just be careful, because, you know, the Lord has something for you to do. You just need to slow down enough and just hear what that is. You got a public plan for you. Somebody once said that a person who's wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. So be careful about being too self-centered and saying, I'm not going to go and just investigate what God has for me. These four men, they're standing there and they're looking toward the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah once stood. And you know the Dead Sea, we've been there. It's 1,290 feet below the level of the sea. Things go into that sea and they don't go out, and it's just a quagmire. Nothing lives there anymore. And we certainly don't want to be that way, do we? So just watch. Sometimes young Christians slowly operate this way and they say, well, what's, you know, I'm looking for this ministry that will benefit me. And we kind of float around just a little bit. And those are the individuals that you kind of see they'll go over here and say, no, I don't really receive much there. But it's those that just say, how can I work to be a benefit to others? Is there an opening for me to be a gift? So we do a lot here at Hope Chapel. We are both ministering to our community, ministering beyond our nation. It's an amazing group of people, and together we get a chance to reach a lot of people. So with that, let's just consider, if you say, well, what is God's plan for me publicly? How many know the gospel still needs to be released, right? Mark 16, 15, Jesus says, go and preach this gospel to every creature, every creature. I used to line up my pet dogs and say, hey, you need to know about Jesus. Yeah. So we just need to take a look at that. We really do. We're all about the good news. Do you know, in 1963, when President Kennedy was assassinated, it took 2 hours for the world to know that. In 1966, when it came along, or excuse me, 1999, I should refer, 1999, when his son, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s plane went down into the Atlantic, it took a lot of minutes for the nation to hear. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died, and still to this day, over half the world's population still does not know that story. They still need to hear that story. And it's up to us. We do have an assignment. We do have a public ministry. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the church is the church only when it exists for those that aren't in it. So we need to continue to reach outside of ourselves, right? Well, let's take a look at number two. Plans for a private purpose. Let's look at verse 18. Then, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, he says, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord and to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Take a look at that. Talk about the influence. I have chosen him, that translation says. But the influence, we talk at that trickle-down effect. It's amazing that Abraham is brought up, that God is bringing this to Abraham, not Sarah. This is really, we're highlighting and honoring fathers and men, and we're grateful for that. We take a look at something like this. The family really needs the father's influence. Hope Chapel, dear men, man, we need you to be a part. Something about a child that receives so much when a male comes and shares the gospel or displays the handling of just sacred things like the Word of God. So important. But you know that children will spend 16% of their time in school. Sunday school, children will spend 1% of their time. And then when it comes to being at home, a child will spend 83% of their time in home. Where do you think the influence really comes? It really comes from home, doesn't it? Some of our children, 1%, that could be either Sunday school or children's ministry. It's so necessary to have children being influenced. So children's attendance, long after they make their own decision, the statistics are that if a mom and dad both go to church, that their children will remain spiritually faithful 72% of the time. If a father goes to church and the mother does not go to church, that the children will remain spiritually faithful 55% of the time. If just the mother goes to church and the father does not go to church, that the children will remain faithfulness to the church 15% of the time. So we find statistically the male really has an influence, so important. Charles Spurgeon said this, "A man's life is always more forcible than his speech. People reckon his deeds as dollars and his words as pennies." So what we do, men, so important. At home, when we talk the private purpose, God, what is your plan for me in the private setting? So significant. May you seek it out and say, Lord, how is it played out? Because there comes a time, that comes a time, and that's where Ainsley and I are. How do we now pass on the treasures that we have to the next generation? That's where we are these days. What is it and when does the handoff take place? How is it and can it be that we can live in such a way that we make sure these things that are precious, valuable, part of our private planning and that God has, our purpose, that we make sure our children and all 9 of our grandchildren will receive. So it's important. Why is a father so important? A male role model so important? Number one, well, we're finding that's where adults receive their image of our Heavenly Father. How well the male in the home or in the Sunday school setting or in the youth group or in young adult, how does that male role model display our Heavenly Father? Also, one day your daughters will be married and they're going to want to know, what kind of a man do I select? And then your sons will also want to say, in what way shall I live my life? Boy, men are so important and so vital, isn't it? I would just want to say this, and I'll probably tweet that. And if you're following me on Twitter, please thank you. If not, just follow me on Paul L. Harmon. There you go. Get in there. But tweet, this would be a phrase to put out there, that dads, it's so much easier to build a boy than to repair a man. So let's get our young boys, our young ladies, just modeled. There is a private purpose that God has. Finally, number 3, plans for a prayerful purpose. It's interesting to note here in verse 20, Follow along with me. And it says, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went away toward Sodom. But Abram stood still before the Lord. And Abram came near and said, "Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake." And Abram answered and said, "Indeed, now I am but dust and ashes, and have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose there should be 40 found there." So he said, "I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry. I will speak. Suppose there 30 should be found there." So he said, "I will not do it for if I find 30 there." And he said, "Indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Then he said, "Let not the Lord be angry. And I will speak once more. Suppose 10 should be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. It's interesting, verse 33, it appears that God initiated this conversation. It says, "So when the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham." God invites people to be prayerful. That call is always out there. I am sure if you are anyone like me, you always hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit, "Come, just be with me. Let's engage in dialogue." God always wants to hear from you. And in this case, we had a plan for a prayerful purpose, and Abraham was interceding for both the righteous and the wicked. It's an amazing thing. You have such ability when you pray. You can do this. You might even say, "My prayerful purpose is," and just write it down. Or maybe say, "I just want to just spend 30 minutes a day with God." Maybe even start 30 minutes a day every other day. You go online, check it out, be online, and go under resource, pull that tab down, and there's how to spend a half an hour with God in prayer. You will revolutionize others around you, let alone yourself. Well, I just want to say, isn't it amazing? As you take a look at God's got a plan for you. And these are 3 categories: publicly, privately, and prayerfully. So I want to just invite you, remember how 1 Timothy 2:2 says that I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men everywhere, especially for those in authority. So it lists every form of prayer possibly that could be given. What a great day. And I want to just highlight as we prepare our hearts now for communion, there's going to be that time when God is going to shock you. It says so clearly, he's going to shock you. And it's listed in Matthew 25, 35, when the righteous will say, "Lord, when do we do this? When do we do this for you? We don't remember doing this for you." And he's going to come along in Matthew 25, 35. He says, "I was hungry," remember that? "And you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was one that came along and was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. If you take a look at that, they're going to say, when? It says, when you did this to the least of these, you did it for me. So my just encouragement is finally this. How do you land on these areas? Love God. Just love God. Say, Lord, I just need to love you more than I'm currently doing. I want to go back to just say, Lord, love you. There's something that just happens when you just start to fall in love with God again. It's an amazing thing that happens. It's an amazing thing. He loves you so much. We're talking about Israel. And God said in Deuteronomy 7:7, he said, Israel, I didn't pick you because you were more in number than everybody else. Matter of fact, you were the least. Deuteronomy 7:8 starts with this, says, but God loved you. That, Deuteronomy 7:8, I could literally say, why does God love you so much? Because God loves you. Why does God love you? Because he loves you. That's the explanation. God loves me because he loves me. That's what he says. And as we enjoy communion right now, God loves you because he loves you. And he gave himself for you on the cross. I'm going to invite those who are helping serve communion, if you'd come forward. So glad that we're all together to enjoy this. We get a chance to realize we have relationship with him and can even hear his voice for the plans that he has for us. Let's all wait till we've been served, then we'll have communion elements together.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God. In the secret of your presence, I know there I am restored. And when you call, I won't refuse. And each new day, there is no one else for me, none but Jesus, and crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring him praise. In the chaos and in confusion, I know you're sovereign still. And in the moment of my weakness, you give me grace to do your will. And there is no one else for me, none but Jesus, and crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring him.
I just want to welcome you to just relax and be seated while we take these communion elements, and let's separate them. Pulling the wafer off the top of the cup, Sometimes I dip it into the juice. It's an opportunity once again to highlight not only our faith in the Lord, but also this is really an expression of our love for Him. I want to encourage you to just examine yourself and just say, Lord, I do want to love You. Let that be probably your goal every day. Lord, I love You and I want Your presence because I love everything about You. Don't worry about somehow even planning things or doing the right thing. Don't let that be your driving force. Let your time with Almighty God, who loves you so much, that He gave His life for you. These things will come to you in such a way, bring healing. And as we lift our wafer up to the Lord, we're going to have that first. It was Jesus in 1 Corinthians 11 saying, this now represents My body, which is given for you. And it's given for healing. Let's believe for healing. If you're walking in health, praise God. If you're needing to pray for somebody's health, then say, I can pray for somebody's health in a miraculous way. Or contend for your own health. But Lord, we want to thank You right now as we just enjoy this. Because of Your love. Because of Your love and You're interested in us. We thank You and enjoy this now in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and participate. Cup, Jesus says, this now symbolizes My blood, sign of the new covenant. This testimony is now also, we remind ourselves what He has done for us, just in case you think that your acceptability in the eyes of Almighty God is due to works, somehow gaining favor. It is really through the sacrifice of Jesus. And if you've never seen that, today you could say, I'm taking communion and declaring Jesus as my Savior. We want to always deal with the sin element. Sin separates you first from God. Then it just destroys your relationship with people. So, Lord, we want to thank You for just cleaning us from those things that would cause us to be in a state of affected by sin or disobedience or rebellion. Lord, or affected by other people's sin, wash us clean now. Wash us clean. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, let's participate. Praise God. I'm going to invite you, let's stand to our feet if you would be so kind. We're going to sing that chorus line one more time. I'll be back to pray a blessing. You can pass your cups to the side aisle. We'll be happy to gather them up. Let's sing this song before we go.
There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, and crucified to set me free. And now I live to bring Him praise. Yes, there is no one else for me, and none but Jesus, and crucified to set me free. And now I live to be free.
Well, friends, just before we go, I just want to pray over you. What a great day it's been. So glad that you've been here. We just sang a line that says, crucified to set us free. And so just detecting there could be some of us that are not free. Would you begin to intercede in this room? So glad we had a tongue with the interpretation. I do believe it was Sean that had shared that. Did you feel that? It was a beautiful praise that went up. Now we're just believing right now, even through just that word of knowledge, that God's going to set some of us free. You know who you are. That Father, we want to just thank You that in the name of Jesus, You were crucified to set all of us free. So for those that are hearing the lies of the adversary to say, no, you have not been good to God. You have not been faithful to the Lord. Your family does not trust you. God's not going to trust you. We break that lie in the name of Jesus. But those things that say you'll always have this sickness, you'll never be rid of that, we command that, get out in the name of Jesus. For those that are feeling oppressed and feeling suppressed and feeling like they are being enraptured in just darkness, darkness go. Even the littlest light dispels darkness. We command that, stop it. Where there is contention with people and feeling you cannot face that individual because there's such a barrier and inability to communicate, and we just break that in the name of Jesus and declare restoration and healing over those individuals that are in your life. And that, Lord, we now just speak peace and an ability to hear the voice of God. And that, Lord, we want to pursue you because we love you. And we're even willing to set aside those forms of entertainment that have ripped us off from discovering God's plan for our life. Lord, we want you more than anything else. So we're willing to make a decision today that says, Lord, whatever it takes, whenever you call, however big the cost, we're willing to do it. Because we love the Lord, and he first loved us. So, Lord, speak your peace and blessing now over each person. Thank you, Lord, that you're moving mountains now. When they go to their place where they live, when they go to interact with people, they're going to sense such a confidence and an assurance. God is with us to give us a public plan, to give us a private plan, and a prayerful plan in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for coming. God's grace to you. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.